Morning, Steve. Morning, everybody.
Well, I didn't even realise until this morning when I was doing a few notes for myself that there is a full week of Mental Health Week, but there's a, more to the point, there's a website all about it.
Yeah, so Children's Mental Health Week was first sort of started by the counselling organisation based, well, set up in London area, but spreading nationally, called Place to Be. They offer counselling in schools.
The full English breakfast
and
show.
And they came up with this concept of really supporting and promoting the concept of better understanding and better awareness of children's mental health with this idea of Children's Mental Health Week rather than just Mental Health Week.
Okay, so Place to Be started all this off. It's grown across the country now, and we've got schools, youth groups, organisations right across the country grabbing hold of this. And the theme this year is called Growing Together. What are they meaning by that?
So I think it's, you know, on the back of the pandemic, and I would wholeheartedly support this, Steve. On the back of the pandemic, there's been such disparity. We've been locked down. We've been very, very isolated. The growth in loneliness amongst our young people, we think of loneliness as being an old person's, you know, problem, but it's really not, Steve. Young people can feel very, very lonely. And there's this difference between solitude, which is something we almost choose to have, but actual loneliness. We can feel very lonely in a crowded room. So I think on the back of what we've all experienced throughout lockdown, there's been a real move to try and encourage well-being. It's very simple, by just creating community, by encouraging people to spend time together, to understand one another, to pause maybe and just take the time to really see, hear, get to, you know, just spend a bit of time together as people. That can go a long way to supporting well-being.
And just to illustrate what you're saying there, Liz, as well, we see, you know, youngsters in the street playing, we see them on the school playground, we see them at weekends playing different sports and stuff, but the statistics are quite frightening that one in six children have a diagnosable mental health problem.
Yeah, that moved, you know, pre-pandemic 2017 was the last time we had data, which was one in nine. And you're absolutely right, Steve, that's become one in six. One in six, which means pretty much five in every classroom, children are struggling with their mental well-being. And, you know, this is only set to get worse, in my opinion. And I don't want to be sort of, you know, creating this as a bigger issue or being sort of cataclysmic about it. Children's mental health has really been affected by the pandemic, and I really felt throughout the whole pandemic that they were very much a sort of lost section of society. We sort of muddled through, but I really think that over the next sort of 2 to 3 years, and indeed that's what, when we look back at sort of things in society that have happened around the world, you know, tsunamis or earthquakes or, you know, tragedies that have happened, shall we say, throughout the world over the last decade or 20 years, we can see that what happens with mental health is that we go into a sort of fight flight position initially, and that lasts for a period of time. It certainly gets us through the immediate, but it's the long-term impact. That's when things, you know, we start to calm down a little bit, and we're not actually out of this pandemic, which is why I think we've yet to see the full impact on mental health. But in fact, what, you know, what we can see from data from other countries is that it's 1-2 years when things have calmed down from the initial storm, as it were, that we start to see a real fallout in people's well-being. When it's almost that point at which you can sort of go, oh, I can let my guard down. And that's when things will start to, I think, really, really manifest. At the moment, we have got a monumental surge in anxiety amongst our young people. Some statistics I was looking at the other day, a 95% increase in anxiety, 95% increase, which is a staggering statistic. And certainly that's what I'm seeing, you know, in the work that I do with youngsters, because the world has been a very unsafe place. There's still a lot of uncertainty about out there for them. Indeed, their whole future. What is the impact of this pandemic on my future? Most of us have had, you know, we've got, you know, I certainly probably got less future than I've got past. But for our youngsters, they've got their whole lives ahead of them. What does this mean? What does this mean for my exams? I was hearing on the radio this morning, for youngsters taking their A-levels, they haven't set a public exam since they were in year six. You know, what does that mean for me coming up for my A-levels now? Well, how am I, I don't know how to sit an exam. Of course you don't. You haven't had to for 10 years. So all of this feeds into this growing sense of anxiety, and we really need to bring a sense of we've got this, you know, some calm, some sense of, you know, accepting that a level of anxiety is normal. In abnormal circumstances, abnormal reaction is normal. So heightened anxiety, yes, okay, I get it, but we need to be saying now, you know, we're coming in with a sense of calm and measure, we know where we're going, so that we can start to bring those anxiety levels down and support our youngsters to know that they're not alone in this, which is why I think it is so important that, you know, during Children's Mental Health Week, we do focus on our youngsters and we do get that message across, that we see them, we hear, we acknowledge the impact on them, but we're going to come alongside them to support them through these next weeks and months, particularly those that are going into exams.